G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
With the NDIS budget expenditure expected to overtake Medicare within 3 years in Australia, an important conversation today about our Christian faith and disability. And our special guest today says we live in a world where value is often assessed through a person's external attributes such as image, wealth or popularity. But disability can create significant challenges to this value model. Keith Harris has written a new book to remind us that God sees value where people sometimes do not. And it's also about inclusion and acceptance in church to those with disabilities, based on a person's spiritual value rather than their worldly or external value. Keith says people with disability live in a shadow world. And his new book called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence, explores how we perceive value. Get ready for a great conversation today about faith, disability, and the worlds in which people with disability frequently live. And I want to welcome into the studio at Vision today, Keith Harris. Keith, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Keith, I wanted to ask you before we even start the conversation, you've obviously written this book and I'm really looking forward to hearing about the book, but why did Keith Harris write a book about disability?
We discovered our daughter had serious neurological disabilities. We tended to mask them. We worked around them, but we didn't identify them. And it was a bit of a shock to us to discover that our daughter didn't think the way we did. So that led to, I'm a church pastor, I'm in a country parish, I have a daughter that doesn't see things the way I do. How does she see faith? How does she understand faith? How does faith work in her life? And that led to me producing a small paper at the Australasian Conference on Academy and Church at St. Lucia University. I was asked to by the church to do that because of our experience, and that led to the basis of the book. How does a disabled person see faith, and how do we on our side see their faith? How do we understand it? How do we accept it? How do we embrace it within our church culture?
Amazing. It's a really interesting topic, and I think, as I mentioned, the NDIS in the introduction, initially it was projected that about 400,000 would be on the NDIS when they started it, but it's now projected to be closer to 1 million Australians living with some form of disability within the next 5 years. And how old was your daughter when you guys really realised, wow, she just can't get this stuff like we get it?
She was 18 years old. She came to Brisbane to go to COTA to learn catering. And she was out of our environment. We were catering for her disability. We didn't know it at the time. And when she came to the university one day, the teacher said, well, look, she's just sitting in a room by herself. And what had happened is the class had moved from that room to another room. And it's that framework, that different way of thinking, of cognating or thinking things through, that made us realize that our daughter needed help. The early days were difficult, obviously. We were in a panic. We were searching for answers. Then we realized we had to come back into the city to find support. Since then, NDIS has done a great job for us. We do appreciate our carers, our care organization, and the workers. But yeah, it's a slow process of rebuilding. Our daughter's now 40 and we're just seeing very gradual increases. But as an example, how does she see faith? She sees faith in 2D. We see it in 3D. We look at the whole person, the outside of the person, how they react. She looks at it in 2D. So that sounds a bit weird, but that's basically how she looks at faith. Go on, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so when she was a young child, because obviously you guys were pastoring, where were you pastoring? Which town were you in?
St. George, Western Queensland.
Oh, good old St. George. I love St. George. Some of our listeners are in St. George. And so you're out in St. George. And so as a young girl, I mean, did you just assume she understood the teachings in the Sunday school class, and when you prayed with her at night and you taught her snippets of the Bible, did you believe that she was understanding what you were talking about?
She would give back to you what you gave to her. There was very little adaption of knowledge that she expresses as herself. She repeats stuff
so
back.
She mirrors.
Mirrors, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, but again, when someone's young, you probably think, oh, good, she's repeating what I'm saying. She's processing, because you just assume, don't you, that she's just like you are, and she's processing and understanding and speaking out of that understanding.
Yes, yeah.
Wow, and now she's 40. Does she attend a church now? Like, is she within a local church framework?
She's not in a local church framework, but she does devotions every Sunday with her carers. And to hear her speaking now, she is way, way ahead of where she was originally. When we left St. George, she would be very quiet. She would hardly speak. There would be nothing voluntarily coming out of her. So now she positively witnesses to her carers, sits down, does her Bible reading. They have a talk about it, then they do prayer time. But that's a huge leap forward in her development, her cognitive development.
Which is great. But I'm just thinking about you guys. So from the age of 18 to 40, that's 22 years.
Yeah.
How much investment have you had to make in the last 22 years to assist your daughter?
Quite a deal. We looked at placing her in a home or a place where disabled people live, but her Asperger's sort of would bristle up and she would withdraw. So we built a unit at the back of our house and she lives in that. She's what you saw, co-independent. She's near enough that if she has a panic session, she knows where we are, but she's independent enough so she can begin to develop herself as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But it's been, as you said, quite an investment from you, not just financially, but your time and your emotions.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you had to leave the church that you were pastoring in St. George. Did you get back into ministry in Brisbane?
No, we didn't. I did a lot of interim preaching, transitional ministry, where churches were transiting from one pastor to another. We did that for a while, but then we realised that, no, we need to come back and centre ourselves where we are in Ipswich, and Raya became the project. You know, we had to get behind this young girl to try and get her back to at least where she was when she went away, full of expectation and hope, and came back rather, disappointed. Flat would be the word.
Yeah.
When she came back from college, it's taken a long time to get her sense of self-worth back up to a level where she's feeling comfortable.
Yeah. And so when she went to high school, was she schooled in St. George, or did you send her away to a boarding school? How did that work?
Her schooling began in Ipswich and eventually completed in St. George. But the thing to note there is that we were coping, we had adapted our family lifestyle to her lifestyle.
Yeah.
So and it's a bit of a shock. I mean, most families that have disabled children, particularly serious disability, the family has to adapt to them. So we didn't realise it, but we had a totally different family lifestyle to other people. And we just coped. And the family usually don't know in the early stages. Today, it's a lot better because autism and Asperger's syndrome and the various versions are easily identified, but in 1995, you know, you were on your own. So our whole family focused around coping for what our daughter wasn't able to do. She went through school. You wouldn't have known anything was wrong. It was only when she was out of that protective environment that things fell over and we realized that we had to do something.
Yeah, amazing. And I know many of our listeners will relate to what you're saying as parents. And many of our listeners also are living with disability. And so we are not right now, but in a couple of minutes about to open up talkback lines and allow callers to call in maybe with your story or your comment. Maybe you want to ask Keith a question. But the real crux of the book though, Keith, isn't it, is about people with disability finding faith and how they journey with God and understand God, which is obviously different to us. So in just a couple of sentences or a couple of minutes, how would you really summarize the message of the book that you've just written?
Faith is a spiritual reality, and the neurological and physical body in which we live can compromise our ability to express that, but there's no limitation on the expression of faith between a believer and God. There may be a fence around a disabled person, either visually or orally or mentally, but their particular relationship with God spiritually is a direct connect. There's no disability does not disable God.
Yeah, which is so wonderful, isn't it? It's such a beautiful thought, the fact that, like you said, anyone in this world can connect to God, whether they're hindered by some form of disability or not, that God's big enough and great enough to still connect to that human heart. And look, maybe some of our listeners have got a story. We'd love to hear your story. If you have a child with disability, or maybe you yourself have a disability, and how do you connect to God, and how do you find your faith, and how do you strengthen that faith in God? And you can call us on 1-800-316-316. That's 1-800-316-316 with your stories, your comments, or maybe you've got a question for Keith Harris. He's written a book. It sounds like a wonderful book. It's called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence, and it explores how we perceive value in people today. And sadly, our Western world, it's all about image, it's all about appearance, it's all about the way we project on social media especially, or our wealth or our success. But I love the truth of God, which is that He looks at the heart. He sees value in the human heart. But today we're having a really interesting conversation with Keith Harris, who has written a book called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence. And it's exploring how we perceive value in humanity, but it's effectively written about people with disability and how they connect to God, and God and all of His greatness, how He connects to people with disability, and just for all of us to understand that that may be a little bit different to the way we connect to God, but that God works with people with disability and that we can also learn to work with them as well. So we're taking your calls now on 1-800-316-316. That's 1-800-316-316. We've already got a couple of callers, but keep calling in. And the first caller off the rank today is George from, is it Mulga in New South Wales?
Mulgoa.
Mulgoa. Where is Mulgoa, George?
Mulgoa is near Warragamba Dam, out of Wallachia, in between Penrith and Warragamba Dam.
Oh, yeah, just out west of Sydney there. Well, George, thank you for calling in today. I've got to be honest with you, I've never spoken to someone from Mulgoa before, but have you got a comment for Keith or a question?
Yeah, just a comment. Just basically, I've got a child with Down syndrome. He's 12 years old, and it's been lovely watching him grow in the faith. Like, we come from a large evangelical Anglican church at Rudy Hill, and he's loved and cared for and brought up in the ways of the truth. But I've always wanted to know, like, I know that he mimics and does what we do, but I really want him to have a faith of his own. And I've tried to encourage that as much as possible in the way we pray, and asking him to pray and to speak to God, and he's verbal. What other ways, Keith, do you think would be a good way of encouraging a real and vibrant faith in my son without the whole, well, just do as we do and she'll be right?
Yeah, just looking at that for a moment, what's your son's name again, sorry?
His name is Jonathan. We call him Jonty.
Okay. Well, does he draw? One of the things that really impressed us with our daughter was that if I was preaching, she wouldn't talk about the sermon, but she would draw. That's a mode of expression that you may like to explore, because drawing for a young boy by the name of Robbie was how he expressed his faith. He drew what he wasn't able to articulate in words. Also, I think your observation of him as he's reading, as you're reading the Word of God, what is his body language like? One of the girls in the book, her name's Mary, and we've written a separate set of books about her. Music has a dramatic effect upon her. So there will be a language that Jonathan has. It may take some time to find out what that language is, but I can say categorically that God leaves no one silent when faith is concerned. There will be a way. It may take some searching, but what does he like to do? Does he draw? That sort of thing, if you look for it, it will be there. The language will be there. We talk about Mary's language in the children's books, and her language is music.
Yeah, you're spot on there, Keith. I think just listening to you speak, it's definitely not drawing, but I think it's music. He loves being at the front of the church and singing. He loves the songs like My Lighthouse. He loves to sing and he loves to dance. He expresses his joy and his, I don't know what else he's expressing when he's singing, but he does really love to sing. And I pray and I just say, please, God, you know his heart, you know his mind, you created his innermost being. You work out what's happening in my son and help me to encourage that and to bring it out to light. But I just thought, but it's nice to hear you talk about ways that they express it themselves, and it's definitely, I think, my son is music. He's verbal, but but music is the way he expresses his joy and his, you know, and his happiness.
Yeah, words come from the mind. Music comes from the heart. And music is an important part of church. If we just had someone talking, we'd all be asleep. The singing engages the heart. I was just thinking of King David and Saul, and this is what we find with Mary, who is the reason for the book being written, by the way. When we play secular music, she's agitated. This girl's totally non-communicative, hasn't spoken a word in her entire life. But when music is played, and Christian music, her whole persona changes. So I would say that you have got your answer there. If music speaks to Jonathan, then God is talking to Jonathan through music.
Yes, thank you for that. I've always wanted to work out how do I do it. And it was right in front of me all the time, I guess, is the music. And he does love to pray as well. Like when we pray over the food, he always wants to be the one to pray and thank God for the food. And he's... when he's at kids' church, he's always drawing. He always draws a picture of me and then always prays for me. And it seems like it's only me that he prays for. He's always praying for me. Perhaps I need it. I don't know. But he's.
Well, you know what, George? He sounds like an amazing little child. And we've actually got a couple of other callers who've called in as well. But, you know, when you guys are talking, I just love Keith's answers to you as well. But it reminded me of an old Bible teacher who said, Keith, like in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, some Hebrew scholars believe that God used to sing to Adam and Eve as well. God's communication to his own creation was through music and singing. So, George, it sounds like, Keith's really pointing you guys in the right direction there, that it's obviously music and singing, that's your son's primary form of communicating to God, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
George, legend, mate, thank you so much for calling. You sound like an amazing dad too, and that's obviously why he's praying for you so much, because you're always in his mind. So God bless you. You have a wonderful day, and call us again sometime too, huh?
Will do. Cheers. God bless.
And we've got other callers waiting. We've got Granville from Rockingham in WA. Granville, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, I thought I'd ring up because for years I worked as a social worker in England with children, adults who had disabilities. And then I came to Australia and got married. And for about 20-odd, 30 years, I've worked for Active Foundation as a support worker in the group homes. And I just like to say, you know, I've got a Christian faith in God, is that what you're saying about music and drawing, that's very, very helpful to people. Each person's different, like we're different. It's just about trying to find what they can tap into. And at church, I go to a church in Rockingham, one of the people there is a disability, top end, very close to normality. And she loves singing, talking, having a cuppa after the service. And, and God loves them just as much as what he loves you or loves me. And there is a purpose in their life. There's value in their life. They're not determined by any money they earn or status, nothing to do with that at all.
Yeah, so you did 20 years as a support worker in disability, huh?
Yeah, I think more like inactive. I think probably more like 30, I think, 30. I've
incredible.
Just decided I'm 77 now.
Incredible. And you've noticed music and singing is a way for people to really communicate as well. Keith, you got any thoughts you want to share with Granville from Rockingham, WA?
Yeah, yes. Working in disability and in support work, you've obviously come across people with early stage of dementia or with full dementia. I do talk about that in the book, in particular helping people understand that the dementia does not negate faith. What's the best way to say this very quickly? Faith is a spiritual reality in the life of a person, and when dementia presents itself, faith remains. We may not be able to see it. They may not be able to communicate it, but it is there. It's a definite reality for them. And God can talk to them even if we can't. I think that one of the things we Jonathan was saying, that we look at people visually and externally, but internally, disability can impede expression, but it cannot disable faith. That's what I'm trying to say.
I agree completely, and that's a really good point that you made. And, you know, whenever you can, you know, praying with people with disability, including them, that's important, and valuing them, that, you know, they know if they're valued, if you like them, you know, and that's so important, you know, through that valuation and considering themselves very important and precious, which they are, that makes a big difference. And the families feel that when you're visiting families, if you take the time to sit and to listen and to care, that makes a big difference to the person who has a disability and also to the families as well.
I'm pleased you mentioned value. In the book, I've got an illustration where I use Australian coins.
Right.
And if you can imagine the set of Australian coins on the table with the value number upward, like 1, 2, 50, 20, 10, whatever.
Yeah.
Without, you flip the coin over, and on the other side of the coin is the image currently of the Queen. Now, the number on the coin means nothing without the image of the Queen on the coin. So the real value in a person is the image of God that he places in us, our spiritual image. That's the value of a person, not what we see externally or how we can use them or how they fit into society or what they can do for us. The real value of a person is their spiritual value.
Adam from Marysville in Victoria has been very patiently waiting. Adam, thank you for being so patient and welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to come to this from a bit of a different angle, because probably like the last two callers that have called have got family and they know people with disabilities like autism. But I'm going to attack this from a different angle, because it's actually me. I was diagnosed when I was a child with Asperger's. And I know there's a whole different levels of autism and Down syndrome and all that. And so I was diagnosed with autism, and I'd had learning disabilities as a child. School was a struggle academically. I was always good at sport and being outside, and my I learn things by doing them rather than sitting in a classroom with my head in a book. I just want to thank God that I grew up with good Christian parents who dragged me along to church and Sunday school as a young child. And yeah.
Well, can I ask you, Adam, let's talk about your faith journey. Obviously, you were diagnosed. How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I'm not completely sure, but I'm actually 48 soon, and back those days, it was probably as my dad passed away back in 2018 because he was an electrician. He used to work, unfortunately, with asbestos, so he passed away. But I know he's in heaven.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. So tell us, how have you connected to God over the years, Adam? What's been your way of really connecting to God?
As I stated before, well, I love going to church, but I get the best part of my relationship with God out in the great outdoors, out in His creation. Like, I've always loved. I grew up going fishing with my dad and grandfather, and I love being out in the great outdoors. And so
church in the outdoors. Keith, have you got a response for Adam today?
Yeah, well, for Adam, the Bible clearly teaches that the heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
And their speech goes out. And the word speech there is talking. It's not necessarily verbal. It's communication. And God's communicating to you, Adam, through what He allows you to see. And that beauty of His creation, that helps you in your faith. In Romans, the Apostle Paul talks about the same thing, that it's obvious to us in the creation that we live in that God is a beautiful and wonderful person. And I think that would encourage you. My daughter's Asperger's as well, and she's two-dimensional, as I mentioned. So she doesn't see subjective world that we live in. She sees a direct world and what's in front of her. So I would say keep your faith alive by your singing, your visiting the church, your talking where you can with people. Some will want to communicate to you. Someone may take you for a drive in the country. I'd be driving down the Moonee to St. George. And I'm saying, boring, boring, boring. And then it dawned on me that the eyes that God gave me to see the creation He's created are a gift. So instead of looking at the four-hour journey from Brisbane to St. George as a boring thing, to me it was a wonderful thing to just look at the beauty of God in creation, and that would encourage my heart as I drove back to my church to take up parish duty. So if that works for you, then that's how God is speaking to your spirit.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether you know that Marysville is actually in the Victorian Alpine area. It's not far from we're not far from Mount Buller and all that. So
Yeah, so wonderful scenery.
And can I just say, God is good because despite sometimes, I used to spend a lot of time in my childhood listening to other people's lies about me. And then I heard one day, instead of listening to what other people are saying about you, start listening to what God's saying about you or says about you. And, yeah, because he loves us. And I've been able to, my church, we explore the spiritual gifts, and I believe God has definitely given my spiritual gifts are actually more of a physical, a doing type gift than other than the other type of gifts that there is. But so God can use anybody, no matter what they're, as long as we allow him.
Amen. Well, you've just nailed it there, Adam. I love what you said, that you've just got to learn to just listen to what God says about you. That's the same for all of us. I don't care if we've got a disability or not. So many of us live in the words of others, the opinions of others, the impression we get from other people. And one of the greatest truths we can discover is that, what does God think of me? What does God say about me? And the fact that you've just realized that your gift is natural. You're a doer. You're a helper. You bless people in physical, natural ways. I think that's wonderful. Keith, we've got another caller on the line, so we're going to have to move on. Adam, we could talk to you all day, brother. You've got such a beautiful heart, and I really appreciate you calling in. But Keith, have you got any final thoughts for Adam?
Yeah, just enjoy your relationship with God. And as you travel around and as you do things, just be pleased that God is using you with the gifts that you have to do the work that he wants to have done.
Yeah.
Awesome, Adam. And you enjoy that Victorian Alpine country. It just brings back memories of that old movie, Man from Snow River. I'm sure it's good country down there. And
not quite on a horse, but I do own a four-wheel drive.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's a modern horse, isn't it?
so I can go out and enjoy it a bit more.
Good on you, Adam. Hey, we really, really appreciate you calling in, and you're welcome to call anytime. So you have a wonderful afternoon, huh?
Yep.
Okay, God bless.
No worries.
And we are taking your calls today on 1-800-316-316. Maybe you got a comment or a query or a question for Keith Harris. He's written this book. It's a fascinating book, and it's called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence. And it's all about people with disability connecting to God, and more importantly, God connecting to them. And we've got a couple of other people who've called in, and one of them is Wendy from Bowen. Wendy, I want to thank you for your patience, and welcome to the program today.
Thank you.
What would you like to ask Keith or talk to Keith about?
About, well, I just think it's amazing what I've just heard in the last few minutes driving in the car around Bowen. Because so much of it rings true for me. I'm in my early 50s now. I grew up 70s, 80s going to school. I had a speech impediment and learning delays and social delays and everything else you can think of. And they just, a lot of the teachers just sort of put me in a too hard basket. But thankfully I had very supportive parents. They weren't Christian parents, but they were very supportive parents. And so I was fortunate in that respect, but I never got on well with my peers. And it wasn't till I was a teenager and was invited to church with my to church youth group. And I started going along to church youth group, and they took me for who I was. And it's just amazing, like, what you've been talking about, because it's so true. God values us for, what we can bring to him and his kingdom, not the value of what the world sees us.
Yeah, wonderful. Keith, have you got a response to that?
Well, thank you very much for that. As you were talking, I was thinking of King David, and if you really look, read between the lines, when Samuel rocks up to the house, where's that embarrassing kid? He's out the back paddock, you know. Definitely don't let Samuel see him, whatever you do. So sometimes we feel that way, but the Lord has a work for each of us to do, each of us that he gives this wonderful gift of faith to have an ability to help, to talk, and to communicate this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And whichever way you do it, we do it to the glory of God. And I think that, you know, the story of poor old David, you know, I think, you know, it is a miracle that Isaac was forced to go and get him. You know, he'd run through all the ones that he had that he thought had value, as Jonathan said, in society, and would make a good king. But sometimes the Lord does have us put aside for a bit, but then when the time's right, he will lift us up and we will have the joy of doing his work in the world in whatever way he calls us to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I've found over the years. And I mean, since then, I've realised I had dyspraxia, which wasn't heard of back then. And at least now I can look back and go, right, this is why things were that way when I was growing up, supportive parents and stuff. But it's so nice that the church recognised people of all values in society. And I'm actually about to start being a support worker for people with mental health issues. So it's great that I can then continue with that work and be empathetic in my work as well, because I understand where people are coming from.
Yes, yeah, your experience can be used to help the people that you're going to be working with, that's for sure.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Wendy, I love about your story is that you found acceptance and love in a local church too, amongst God's people. What a great testimony.
Yep. Yeah, thanks to an amazing youth group of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, Wendy, I really want to thank you for calling in from beautiful Bowen in Queensland,
one of the tropical areas.
That's it. Beautiful, beautiful Queensland. But thank you so much. We do have another caller waiting. But Wendy, thank you so much for contributing today, and have a wonderful day. What's left of it, okay?
Okay, will do.
God bless. God bless. And we have Abraham, who's been very patient as well, waiting from Sydney, New South Wales. Abraham, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are we all?
We're good. How are you, brother?
Oh, every day is a good day in the hands of the Lord.
What would you like to ask Keith about or talk to Keith about today?
It's not about asking. It's just about encouraging other people with disabilities. Back in 2010, in January, I slipped over and broke my neck. When I had the operation, the neurosurgeon said, "Sir, we've done 3 operations in the hospital." And he advised me that you're not going to walk again, will not be able to move again. So the rest of your life is going to be in bed. And I just looked at the neurosurgeon in Queensland when I was leaving, and I said, "Look, on whose authority did you say that to me?" Because, well, I'm the leading neurosurgeon in Queensland. I said, "That's great, but I don't take authority from you. I have authority, and his name is Jesus. He's the one that's going to lead me and guide me and encourage me." And that night after the final operation, I had a dream, and he said, "Listen, Abraham, in 14 weeks, you're going to walk out of this hospital." And it was exact the same day of the 14th week that I walked out of that hospital. Yes, I am still disabled, but I'm able to walk. I walk with a limp, but I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done. And I encourage everyone out there, is never give up hope on the Lord, because he will always guide you with every step that you take. Just finally, I do deliveries for a construction site, and I deliver machinery. And every time I see someone and they complain about life and complain about everything, and I just grab them and I say, listen, I just want to give you encouragement. And I tell them my story and my testimony. And I say to them, you've got no right to complain. You should be grateful for what you have. There is a loving God that loves you, and he'll do everything for you if you let him into your heart. And that's all I say, and it just puts cheer and joy and happiness in people's souls when you say that to them. So that's the thing I just wanted to share with everyone. Yeah, wow.
Well, that's really encouraging. You got a really strong faith, Abraham, and you're shining your light. And Keith, have you got something you want to say to Abraham in response to that?
Yeah, Abraham, living with a disability is a real challenge today. As Jonathan basically said, you know, we're so much visual in our society today. I've got a paragraph here I want to read to you. What is important is not to focus simply on the disability of a person and how we cope with that disability, but to consider as important, more than anything else in our discussion, the real inner person, their spiritual nature, which defines their true humanity, their beauty and being, as we live with them in our church fellowship, community, family and world. That's basically the summing up of the book, going through a whole raft of issues and ideas and concepts. But it's the beauty of God, our relationship with God, is what identifies us. It's our true value in this world. And God is obviously using your faith in his way, in the work that you're doing for him in your church and in the world you live in.
Yeah, totally agree, because it's not about the disability, but it's the ability of what someone can do with their faith.
Yes.
And that's all I really have to say about it.
Wonderful. Abraham, really appreciate you calling in, and what an encouraging testimony too, that you just stayed strong in your faith even when the experts told you you'd have a different outcome, and you're still shining your light for Jesus now, witnessing, sowing seeds. So really appreciate you calling in, Abraham. You have a wonderful day. What's left of it, my brother?
And you too. God bless.
Yeah, God bless, man. We'll talk to you again, huh?
All right, bye-bye.
Well, Keith, we are coming to the conclusion of our time together today, but I just want to ask you in conclusion, what are your final thoughts or words for today in this topic of faith and disability?
I think getting the priority of faith first, disability second, would be how I would look at things. The inner being of a person is their true value. And even though, as one of the writers that I quote says, the vessel may have issues, the inner being, the spiritual nature of a person, is their true value. And when faith is resident in that spiritual nature, they have true value with God. A relationship that is lifelong, continuing on even into continuing on into eternity. And I think that's the way we should look at people, at their inner beauty rather than what we see externally of them. And to me, that's how the Lord looks at us. He looks at the heart, and it's in the heart where faith lives. And that heart, of course, is our spiritual nature.
Wonderful, wonderful. And if you've just joined us, Keith Harris is our special guest today, and he's written a book, and it's called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence. And it's all about people with disability and how they connect to God, and more importantly, how God connects to them. Keith and his wife have had their own journey with a daughter who was diagnosed at the age of 18, and for the last 22 years, they've been heavily involved in her support and her care, and they've watched her own journey of faith. Now, Keith's book is available through his website, which is keithharristoday.com. That's keithharristoday.com. If you go to that website, you can access this wonderful book that Keith has written. And I would encourage everybody listening today that has some connection with disability, either personally or maybe a family member, a friend. Maybe you are a disability support worker listening today. You're on the job and the person you're caring for maybe having a sleep or a rest and you're just listening to Vision. Encourage you, go to this website, keithharristoday.com, and you can get this book. It's called Faith in the Shadows, The Other Side of the Fence. And Keith, just finally, your last words, please.
Yeah, the book is, it's a bit technical, but it's readable. But you will find at the back of the book massive resources for people and churches and organizations that are seeking help in managing disability or learning about disability. So it's a story, but it's also a resource for you to build your understanding of faith and disability as God sees it.
Beautiful. And it will be a great gift for someone as well. So that's keithharristoday.com. Keith Harris, I really want to thank you for joining us today. And also want to thank all the callers. Some really heartfelt calls today. Quite moving. Yeah. Just hearing. I love stories. I love hearing people's stories and their walk with God and their journey with God. So thank you to everyone who called. And thank you, Keith Harris, for visiting us in the studios today here at Vision.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.